Πάω ότι μπορώ σε αυτό το κουτό.
Observe from all of this is Minhagi Yisrael are not casual things. In American society, there are a lot of traditions, you know. July 4th, you have fireworks, you know, a barbecue on Memorial Day, a turkey on Thanksgiving, all types of things which are traditional. We have traditional things too. That's Emes. Although, the difference is, to be valid, it has to have a mocker in Chazal. It's known that the Ramos expended a great deal of energy in his life sorting through valid and invalid minhagim. And the ones that were valid, he included in the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon comments broadly on the minhagim Yisrael that are brought in the Shulchan Aruch. And what does the Gaon endeavor to do for every minute? A minute in essence really captures the spirit of the law. It's not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. So the Gaon endeavors to show us where the perspective, which is articulated by this minute, is found in Chazal. And if it's not found in Chazal, it's in it. It has no place. It's not Shaykh. We don't take minhagim simply. Now, what could be simpler? You know, meet a person and wish him a happy new year. Can anything be simpler than that? Needs a pilpul, different views, and so there are more tells us at the end of Simen Tovkov. Pay base. V'noyegin shekol echad oimer lechaver l'shana toiva ti kosev. And this is a citation from the Tur Shulchan Aruch. Now you note, Ramah does not say v'sei kosev. L'shana toiva ti kosev. So let's first take a look at the background. I'm going to run it tzadeid. The Yeshlom Agamkem B'Sei Chosem is our common practice. Shabbatot V'Tikot Tikosem B'Sei Chosem. V'Hagro. In the Gro, though, B'Viuro Maskim L'Das Asorim Amoros, they Lom B'Sei Chosem. That we don't say B'Sei Chosem. That's the sheet of the Vilna Goyim. So already we have a Machleikas Achreinim. The Gro sides with the Ramah, the Mogen Avraham is against them. Haruish, Sagutya. So the Shana Tov, the Kosev, or the Kosev, or the Chosev. Something as simple as that, as prosaic as that, is subject to our Machlokes. And what's it dependent on? It's really dependent, ultimately, on Pshat Nasugya and Rosh Hashanah. And that determines how we wish each other a good year. So say, there's nothing simple. All of our practices reflect the world of the halacha. So there's a very, very famous maimer. One of the most famous maimorim in Shas. It appears on the Tes Zayin on the base. And we have the following. Here we go. Where did I lose the place? Yeah, I lost the place. The Mimer of Rav Kruspidoy. One second, let me get my bearings. Okay. Oh, I skipped the word, that's right. Whoops. I skipped three words. Omer Rav Kruspidoy, Omer Rav Yochanan. It's a very unusual Omer Rav Kruspidoy. We have his mind, this mimer of his is in the Rishalmi too, but I'm not familiar right now where else he appears in Shas. Shloisha Svarim Niftochim Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Rishonim Gemurim. Some, in fact, invert the order of the Gemara and say that Tzadikim are first, which makes sense. Akobarim Echad Shel Rishonim Gemurim. Those that are abysmally evil. Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim. Those that are abundantly righteous. Echad Shel Beinanim. And a book of Beinanim. Average. Tzadikim Gemurim Nechtovim Nechtomim La'alto L'chaim. The Tzadikim Gemurim are inscribed and written and inscribed and sealed La'alto L'chaim, immediately for life. Rishon Gemurim, those the abysmally evil, Nechtovim Nechtomim La'alto L'misa. They're inscribed immediately for death. Beinonim Tzluyim Vayimdim, their fate hangs in the balance. Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim. Zochel, if they are meritorious, nichtovin l'chai. Loi zochel, nichtovin l'misa. That's the Gemara. Now, this Gemara presents us with a very, very simple problem. We have probably the most famous line in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur liturgy, probably one of the most famous lines in all of our liturgy. I don't believe that there's a person that's been present in his lifetime in the Beis HaKnesses that doesn't know that line. It's whatever the haunting niggun of it, the pathos. It's probably the most well-known and striking line in all of our liturgy throughout the entire year. And the shaila is a very simple shaila. Who are we talking about? Who is Nichtav on Rosh Hashanah and Nechtam on Yom Kippur? Who is this person? That's the Shaila. Who is he? Who is this person? If you're Tzadikim Gemur, so they have a Ksiv and a Chsim on Rosh Hashanah. Rishon Gemur was also a Ksiv and a Chsim. And the Beinanim, it says, Tluyim Ba'imdim, and if the Zochel Nichtovim on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, then Nichtovim. So that Ksiva takes place on Yom Kippur. So who was the person? Who was this strange guy that we can't, that Rav Cruspidoy didn't discover, that it's Nichtov on Rosh Hashanah, Nechtov on Yom Kippur, that we're describing in our liturgy? He was there, Be'ezahu. It's a tire question. So this touches upon what Rav Cruspidoy is referring to. Now, the Ran learns the simple pshat, simplest pshat that most of the world assumes, simplest to understand in what it means, even if not, and that is that we're talking what's a person's din on Rosh Hashanah of this year, how he emerges in terms of he's going to live, he's not going to live, what's his fate in this world? So the Ran says that there are righteous people and unrighteous people and Beinonim. Now it's true, as the world points out, there are righteous people that die during the year and evil people that live for many years. So the Rishonim explain that we're not dealing with Tzadikim in the sense of being super righteous and not. But in terms of the Mishpat itself, a person can be tzaddik in this din even though he's not a tzaddik. In other words, he has certain reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places him together with the tzaddik. So he's a tzaddik in this din. His life is not so unblemished. But in this particular din, he came out with the tzaddikim. A different person came out with the rishon. So that's the meaning of this line in Shas, according to the Ram. Taisu says something very remarkable and very enigmatic. Taisu says, "V'chol zeh dekori hocha gav rishon misa v'gav tzaddikim chayim kloimar l'chayei ha'olam habo." Rav Cruspidoy is not talking in the essential din of what's going to a person's fate in Olam Hazeh on Rosh Hashanah. The person is talking about his faith in Olam Haba. Now, what exactly does that mean? The Marsha finds it's a very difficult thesis to understand. If the Mayav asks some Shonot, so a person has a din for Olam Haba. Either they let him in or they don't let him in. But what? This person is still living. So what is din for Olam Haba? What din for Olam Haba does he have? You know, it's din for Olam Haba. When he leaves the world, they'll decide that they let him in the door or not. And I tell them the door's bought, they take a hike. So what does it mean that it's a din Olam Haba? Very enigmatic. So what I understand from the Marshal is the following. That there are aspects of a person's life in this world which are dictated not in terms of what the psak for this world should be, but there's another dimension to the psak, and that is what's good for his Olam Haba. So sometimes they ask the Chofetz Chaim, a person had tremendous kavod, and he was a person that was very far from the Derech Hashem, but he was a shono pirish. He started off as a person that lived properly, and then he went off to Derech. So the Chofetz Chaim said about him, he says, he probably answered Yeshmer Rabbah in his life, you know, appropriately. And Mamela, he's worthy of a great deal of kavod, but they don't want to give it to him in Olam Haba because of his lifestyle, so they're giving it to him in Olam Hazeh. So, how a person lives in this world is affected by what his status for Olam Haba is. So sometimes for a tzaddik, he did, let's say, did some chatorim. Tzadik borot shayasa toy b'lo yechto. So it's good for him, and he has some setbacks along the way. Why? Because when it comes to Olam Haba, it's clear. So for his Olam Haba, it's kedai that he should have some of the difficulties that he faced, some of these difficulties he's facing in life. And sometimes because dafne, they don't want to let the Rosh into Olam Haba, so in this world, they're paskin that he should live well. So when he comes upstairs, they'll say, listen, we paid you off already. So the din for Olam Haba is mashpia and how a person lives in this world. And how his life is affected and the things that will happen to him in this world. So that's what we're dealing with. Of course, Padoy is talking about the fact, the Olam Haba factors that go into the din. So that is, he says, Tzadikim is decided right away on Rosh Hashanah, Rishonim is decided right away on Rosh Hashanah, and Beinanim, they decide on Yom Kippur, what is Nichtav on Yom Kippur. That's the way Tosis learns the Gemara.
You didn't have to say Olam Haba, you could have said Olam Hazan, whatever factors would affect his Olam Haba, you know, it's just the opposite. Either way, it's the same thing.
No, well,
whatever happens here will affect what happens there.
Yeah, but it's in light of his Olam Haba that they're giving a certain psak in this world. That's the way the Marshal seems to take Taisus. I guess you want to differentiate it between just Olam Hazeh and Olam Kwa.
It's both. But it has to be both anyway, doesn't it?
So, in other words, there's a dimension. In other words, it's not only a psak for Olam Hazeh. In other words, they factor in terms of his Olam Hazeh, maybe he's roy to have A. But in terms of his Olam Haba, a different mix is better for him. So we'll give him the second mix, not the first. So that's the Goyin likes. The Goyin, so it comes out like this. So the Goyin likes. The Goyin likes Rav Kruspadoi's, the Tosis Pshat on the Gemara. That this Gemara is not talking about the Din of Olam Hazeh. So Mamela, he says that the Gemara says earlier in this Gemara, he brings two places, I'll quote one of them. On Tezayin Amud Aleph, Gemara says the following. The Gemara brings the Tonavei Rav Yishmol. Ba'arba Hai Tana, who's the Tana of Amish? The Gemara had a hard time figuring out which Tana fit into the Mishnah in Tezayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara said, "Hai Tana, the Tana of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana of our Mishnah is the Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Devar Rabbi Yishmael Ba'arba Prokem Oilam Nid. Man is judged four times during the year. Pesach Alat, four grains are decided Pesach time. Ba'atzeres Alapeiros Ilon. Fruits of a tree are decided Shavuos time. B'chag Nidainim Alamayim. That's the time that we're judged for water. Ba'odim Nidin B'Rosh Hashanah. And man is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Uzardin shaloi nechtam biyom Kippurim, and it's sealed on Yom Kippur. Yechikasani basnisin that Adam was needing Barosh Hashanah abchilas din. This is talking about the beginning of his din, not the end of the din. So the beginning of the din is on Rosh Hashanah, and the end of the din is on Yom Kippur. Now, this Gemara, Rabbi Shimon made no qualifications of what your status is. You're a tzaddik, you're a rosha, you're a beinari. He's made one flat-out statement. Odom is Nidin. And here clearly we're talking about Olam Hazeh things, in terms of the din of Olam Hazeh. So he says that a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, because our din shalom is necht on Yom Kippur. So the Goyin says, nobody gets a chasima in the din of Olam Hazeh on Rosh Hashanah. The chasima comes on Yom Kippur. So ultimately, you can't really wish a person he should have a full achsima, because his din is not finished. Nobody's din is finished until Rosh Hashanah, until Yom Kippur comes.
Even the tzaddikim gemurim?
Even the tzaddikim gemurim, yes. The Olam Haba factors, but in terms of the Olam Hazeh factors, that remains open until Yom Kippur. Everybody, Odin is leading Rosh Hashanah, Ugzardin Shalom Nechtam Yom Kippurim. He says, and this is most fortunate, because this is really, he says, what gives the Rishon the Pesach to be able to do tshuva, because there's not a chesima. If there would be a chesima, they would have a very hard time rescinding it. Maybe they wouldn't, would be very difficult to rescind. But because there's no chesima until Yom Kippur, so the Rishon also have the opportunity to still straighten matters out until Yom Kippur. Listen. So you see then the Ava of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that the Rabbeinu Shalom will keep open the door for tshuva for who knows, for one person in the world. It's Kedai. Yep.
Do we assume that Rav Benini? Does the Rav assume this
Sugadat Rav Benini? I would presume. Listen, the Rav said Kegain Ano is a Benini. It's a Gemara. So among more than one, I think maybe the Maral of Prague, I think, is one of them, I believe. I'm not sure. Among the Achroinim, I saw in non-Chassidish Achroinim and in Chassidish Achroinim take the same stance. That what's Pshat of a Beinani? So they say, to say that a Rabbi said a Beinani, that he was 50% Schusim and 50% Averis, can't be. So what did Rabbi say could go on no Beinani? So he said, the Gemara says in Sukkah that Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoifta, Rishom is Yetzer Hara Shoifta. So a Tzadik, the Yetzer Tov, is the force which causes him to make his decisions. The Arasha, the Yetzer Hara, that causes him to make his decisions. And a Beinani, he says, by definition, they say, is a person that's influenced by both. He's influenced by the Yetzer Tov, he's influenced by the Yetzer Hara. Now, he may be primarily influenced by the Yetzer Tov, like Rav undoubtedly was. But he says, listen, it's not Libi Cholo Bekirbe, I didn't get rid of the Yetzer Haraya. So they learn some, that's the way they learn what a Beinan is. So then it would come out that most people are Beinanim, probably.
How is it just somebody gets rid of the Yetzer Haraya?
Yeah, Libi Cholo Bekirbe, that he's already, he was massacred himself to the point that the Yetzer Haraya cannot bother him anymore. There is like David HaMelech said, Libi Cholo Bekirbi, the Yetzer Hara by the end of his life was put in his place. He couldn't, you know, a person could conceivably read. He gets schar because he brought himself to that level. But Rabbah said, listen, the Yetzer Hara still has effect upon me, so I can't put myself in the sphere of the tzaddik, in the sphere of the Beinanim.
But if it's tzaddik b'din, then from Rav Kraspadoi, we don't have to say like everybody's Beinanim. Right, if we say tzaddik b'din, it's a
Yeah.
So then we can. So how do you reconcile?
Right now, I don't want to go in the run sheet or whatever. Listen, there are other possibilities. You ask me how I would like to learn the Gemara. I'd like to learn that most people are made in them. You know, but will that necessarily fit every place? I don't know. I'll call upon him. So the Gain says that even the Tzaddik and Gemara, in terms of the din for this world, only have a ksiva. There's no ksima until Yom Kippur. So, Meila, according to that, it's very good that we say Rosh Hashanah Yikosehu Naviyom. In other words, the Paitan, like Tosef Pshat and the Gemara on the Goyin. So the Paitan fits in with that approach. So the Goyin says, you wish a person Rosh Hashanah L'Shanah Tovah Dikosehu. That's all you could wish him. Those that learn like the Ran, so then the Tzaddikim Gemurim have a Ksiva and a Chasima. Rav Kruspedoy is talking about the Din of Olam Hazeh. So then you can wish a guy the Shalat Tovah Tikosei V'Sechosei, because he could be with the Besifron Shal Tamid HaChos Shal Tzaddikim Gemurim.
You should finish off with Al Tachayim, because if he's a Tzaddik, so he's being written right away. In other words, Al-Tel Chaim should apply because it's Al-Tel.
Yeah, 100%. That's what fits. So in other words, our practice is really rooted in the Ran's Pshat and the Gemara, and the Goyin is a chosid of Tosis Pshat and the Gemara. So something as simple as how to wish someone a good year is not so simple. Why? Because it has to reflect the Oymek of Chazal. We don't just have cultural happenings, you know, and they should be significant. So it's just an amazing thing that something as simple as had a wish of good year is a whole Torah.
This is not against at all what we say, what the Hasidim say, that the Gemara did is by Hoshana Rabbah.
No, that doesn't have that's.
Or by Hanukkah, the Hasidim.
I don't know, with Hanukkah, I don't know. I know the Chassidim, I do not know what that's about. There
but
is a piece
not,
of it.
It's
no,
not in the Gemara.
No, it's not. It's not at all in the Gemara. That's for Kerr. To the contrary, yeah, it's in Kabbalah. They say, I mean, that after the advent of Kabbalah, we first came to understand the significance of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. We didn't know what it was really historically till Kabbalah became an open part of the Torah. Because in the Zohar writes, you'll find the brother in Sidur Yaivitz and the pieces associated with Shmini Atzeres. So there is a Shiloh, and there seem to be two different statements in the Zohar about it. There's two things. There's the Sima Sadin, and then there's when they start to carry it out. So it says that the Malochim are tasked by the Rebbe Hashem was starting to carry out the Pesach at Shmini Atzeres. So the Shiloh is it Shmini Atzeres at night? Is it the end of Hoshana Rabbah? When is it exactly? That's less than clear. There are different aspects and desire, different statements and desire about it. So that's why Hoshana Rabbah is the last. That's when they're actually the Psak Din of Yom Kippur is being implemented. And some say in the Zohar that it's first in the night of Shmini Atzeres. That's the Pshat you should know in the Hakofis of Shmini Atzeres, which came from the Arizal, had to do with that. I mean, in my understanding, the Inyan HaKofis is an Inyan of being Me'ira, the Midas HaRachamim. And Mameila, there was a special Inyan to be Me'ira, the Midas HaRachamim in the night of Shmini Atzeres. We mix two different things together, which really have nothing to do with each other in our practice. But it's just they're mixed into a parish. There's Simchas Torah, which is the celebration of ending the Torah, and Hakofas. You don't need to have Hakofas. Hakofas is that we march around the Bima, like they marched around on Hashanah Rabbah, and they marched around in the Migdash. That's Hakofas. Simchas Torah is to dance and to be Sameach. However, in Sameach would be a Gomrah Shel Torah. And our world, both of these got conflated into each other. But they're really two separate things. And that's why, that's the Pshat Nusach Svar. In Nusach Svar, you have Shmini Atzeres, you have Hakofas, but you don't have Simchas Torah. Because it really is totally different. It has nothing to do with Simchas Torah. I'll call upon him. So, according to the Gro, we understand So the truth is, we have a little bit of conflict in our minhagim. Because our practice is we say Lashon HaTov V'Tikosev V'Sichosev. But according to that approach, then we should not be saying Rosh Hashanah Yikosev V'Yom Tzom Kippur Yechosev. That only fits with the Gro. So it's rather interesting that our practices are a little bit conflicting.
Well, Stam, in Chinuch, like when in Yeshiva, they teach you that from Kippur is the Chasim,
Whatever, because they teach you, because that's what it says in Rosh Hashanah, Yikosevet Yom Tzom Kippur Yechosema. Nobody taught it to you because they learned the Gemara. That's what it says in the Piyut. But in the Oymek, in the Oymek of the Torah, in the Oymek Inyan, we're really inconsistent. Because if we say Rosh Hashanah Yikosevet Yom Tzom Kippur Yechosema, we should only be saying the Shana Tovet Yikosev. That's what comes out. That they are in fact dependent, one is totally on the other. So, just a rather odd, an oddity that our liturgy is a little inconsistent. Yeah. So this is one minig I wanted to look at.
The liturgy could just be that the fact is that the Rov are Yechaseinu and Yom Kippur. Even if we say that it's possible to do that.
Yeah, but it's not Rosh Hashanah Yikosevu. That's the problem. You gotta drink to make it fit. Okay, that's one minute that I wanted to look at. So it's fascinating that something as simple as that, as how to wish a good year, is not so simple.
Right.
Yeah.
If a person is set for, gives a good din, and then something happens, God is shown to the person, and he goes down, lovely. Would then he be subject to a new chasima on Yom Kippur? Is this moment in time frozen?
According to the Goyin, it's frozen, yeah. When it says chasima, means that's it. And you could rescind it with chusaravim, you could rescind it the toiva maybe, but l'char not the ra. That's what seems. So it looks like it's a good idea to be a tzaddik on Rosh Hashanah.
Nobody says Rosh Hashanah Tov Yikosev, right?
It's not. Did
the Gro do that?
If the Gro wrote that, that's what the Gro did. You can be sure. But the truth is, I don't know anyone who is so consistent with us keeping the Shita Sagro. Like,
you know, Shita Sagro, no?
To a large extent, it's hard to figure out. The strongest influence in the Minhag Yerushalayim was the Gro, but not the only ones. So now, that's as far as this Minhag of Agut Yor is concerned. Now, I want to look a little at the Inyan, that's the next Sif in the Shulchan Aruch, in Tov Kuf Pei Gimel Aleph. Yeah.
Since the Rav's, I see one of the Rav's big points is that minhagim always have a basis in the Chazal. I'm just thinking, like, there are certain minhagim which they seem to have become accepted in Klai Yisrael, and it seems that I would assume my basic catch up is that you should do them, even though they don't seem to have a basis, like Marshall putting out the Havdalah candle and the grape juice, or standing up for the Chasan and Kala while they're.
Okay, we have a marker in Shas for standing up for the Chasan and Kala. Many Gdolim pointed to the Gemara in Kedushin that says the mechab the noise mitzvah. People undertake a mitzvah. There is tircha to it, so you mechab them to encourage them. So we do have a mocker for the notion.
We don't have like minhagim like that.
Listen,
like they become accepted over the years, and it's just.
Well, that's exactly the point. Maybe we shouldn't have them. You know, it's not so easy to know. To know Torah like the Goyin, to know which ones are valid and which ones are not. But Minhagim is supposed to have a basis, that which we see from the Goyin, in Chazal. If they don't have a basis in Chazal, they shouldn't be. Now, So we have very things that we eat, that we don't eat on Rosh Hashanah. Don't worry, chumas you're allowed to eat, girl. I don't know, it's fun. With lemon juice also.
He's dying in prayer, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. People get divorced because of that.
Yeah, believe me, I know. Kibat. They're not kibat.
I mean, they're delaying it on something else, communication, but that's what it was now.
Yeah, I know. Listen, when, you know, everything in this world has to be within its proper proportion. Last week we did a Gemara. The Gemara said that Iskin Rabavu, that Rabavu made the system of blowing shofar that we have Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, for what reason? Because Rav Haigon says, and many Rishonim hold this way, that you really yate with any of them. Anyone. In fact, you could have one line Tashrat, one line Tarat, Shat, and one line Tarat, and you yate at the Kiyas and Gavah. You don't have to hear anymore. So why did he make this system? Because the Hadyaitis, the Amoratsim, started making Torah, Judowitz, that shul you go to, they blow Tashat over there. You know, you never will Yaitis Shofar in your life. You know, so as we Jews are capable of doing. So they started, you know, zedling, needling each other, you know, that you will never Yaitis, you're not Yaitis if you go there, how could you go? And the other guys yelled back, you have the Tarat guys, you will never Yaitis in your life. So he wanted to put an end to it. So he instituted that everybody does, all of them. So, Mamela, one last thing for the Jews to fight about. But it's, you know, when things become, reach a point that you can't deal with someone that holds from a different shita, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Oh. So now, let's take a look. So where does this come from, this whole Indian? Things we eat and things we don't eat, and what's the significance of it? So let's take a quick look. There are two Gemaras in Shas to deal with it. Also, it's a Gemara. Let's start with it. It wasn't made up. There's a Gemara in Croesus and a Gemara in Horius. And they are almost exactly the same. According to some, they're exactly the same. I mean, maybe they're probably both exactly the same, but in our Gemara, one is one way and one's the other way. The Shaila is, how's it supposed to be? Here, the Gemara gave a whole, starting on Hayamid Beis, the Gemara gave a whole list of things that are simonim. A person wants to know if he's going to be matzliach, a person's going on a trip, if he's going to come back and survive the trip, all types of things. A person wants, and the Gemara gave, is a person, if he's going to finish the year or not, live out the year. So the Gemara gave all types of simonim that a person could have. A melech is anointed next to a flowing river to show that his, just as the river keeps flowing, his malchus should be uninterrupted. So these are all types of simonim. It's even, then the Gemara dismisses one simon, you shouldn't do it because it could have a negative impact on people. And after that, Omar Abaya hashtad amrit simonim milsahi. So the simple meaning is we just had a whole roster of things where the Gemara said that there are symbolic things which are indicative of, to some extent, of what's going to happen. That's Pashtus, what it goes back on, and that's what the way the Marshal learns. But there are others that learn that it goes back on the last statement in the Gemara of Milsi, Dimachol, Shadaita, Misra, Mazlei, that somehow it's hooked to that, not to what came earlier in the Gemara. But I'll call upon him, Hashta Damrit, Simona Milsahi. Now, in this Gemara we have, Rehe, Rogel, Inish, Lemechal, Reishat, Akroa, Rubia, Karte, Silke, Vatamri. A person should have his practice to eat these things in the Akroa. It's probably gourds and ruby or sometimes black eyed something, I forget, peas I think, and karte are leeks, and silka are beets, and tamre are dates. So that's the Gemara that we have in here. So in this Nusach HaGemara, it has lemeichal to eat. And the Shita Megubesis tells us that there's another text in the Gemara, lemech sebere shata, that we should see on Rosh Hashanah. It's not an Indian of eating. In the Gemara in Horius, we also have the same Maimah brought. In our text in the Gemara, that's what I say, we're a little mix and match in our shots. Because in Horius, La'olam yehei rogil l'mechse b'reishata, kro rubi, etc. So here we have, in Horius, we have the mechse, and here we'll have another note on the side of the page, that Torah l'omu l'meichal, k'nisa b'krisis, l'chino gisus ator, omnam b'orach, erach kro, isa l'mechse. Apparently, in the Rishonim, there's two neschois. Some have, all over Shas, they have the meichal, and some have the mechse. You have to eat it, or it's enough just to look at it on Yom Tov, and that's the simon. And our whole idea, what is the inyan b'chlal of simon milsahi? So it's obviously, it's a Kabbalistic idea. But in what way? So, you know, we take it simply, somehow it's a simon toiv. I had a thought once, and I found that the Chayodim, in fact, says this. There's a Ramban in Chumash in Parshas Lech Lecha. In the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, state as I. You know there's a klal of Maisa Obas Simon Lebonim. So generally speaking, it means to say that what happened to the Obas will also happen to their descendants. Yaakov Avinu was away 22 years, Yosef was away 22 years, Kohen of a Kohen. That's the way we typically learn. The Ramban says it's much deeper than that. It's because it happened to the Ovis, that's why it happened to the Bonham. In other words, so it's not only symptomatic, but by it happening to the Ovis created the fact that it's going to happen again later on. And he cites what's the point of it. So we find in the Nevi'im sometimes, when the Rabbeinu Shlomo gave a Nevu'ah, you find this in Yirmiyah, for example, that the Rosh Hashanah gave a nevuah, and he told the Novi to go do some symbolic act. So he says, what's the inyan of the symbolic act? The Ramban writes, is that once it came into the concrete world, it's not an abstraction anymore, it can no longer be rescinded. When it's not yet in the been concretized in some way in this world, it's possible under certain circumstances that will be rescinded. But once it actually entered this world in some fashion, that it will not be rescinded anymore. So the Novi did a symbolic act, and because of that, it created the fact that what the Rabbeinu Shalom declared would not be rescinded. And similarly, when the Ovis did a concrete act, they brought something, they created something in the world which assured that this would be ongoing. So this is the way the Chayodom takes the simonim of Rosh Hashanah. That if they are disposed in Shemayim to give us the things that we're asking for, so we act upon them in some small fashion so that they enter the concrete world. And once they enter the concrete world, there's a greater assurance that they cannot be rescinded. So that's the notion, according to the Chayonu of the Simonim, is reflects this principle of the Ramban. Now, in everything that we do in Yadus, it comes in many, many different dimensions. And we often view things in a one-dimensional sense. Now, it's obvious, you know, most people that eat an apple and honey on Rosh Hashanah, that's where they remain. They had an apple and honey, so what's geschmack and sweet, and that's it, and that's where it ended. The realization that, in fact, that this could significantly affect a gzar din from the Shemayim, the Toiv, that we don't realize. And then there's a certain oimek, a depth, that we need when we approach anything, and that we should not act superficially. A very interesting statement from the Achronim. And Tavkuf Pei Gimel, let me turn the page. Yep. We have Yirotzon, we have Viri Yirotzon, Sheyir Buschi Yoseinu, Yokosav, Eliyo Rabbe, B'Shem Shlo, in the name of the Shlo. Listen, Rabbi Yisrael. Yis'eirer Odom B'tshuva, K'shiyami Yirotzon. When the person is about to say the Yirotzon, he should be Mis'eirer, he should inspire himself to do tshuva, to improve. B'yispalal Azeh B'leiv Shomet, and he should be Mis'palal for this B'leiv Shomet. In other words, here he's coming. I'm coming to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that I want something from you. So the Shlod effect is saying, before I ask, I want to make sure that I'm roi lekach, that I have a basis that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should want to give it to me. So before I come to say to you, he wrote, and he said, first I should be a misera. Yisrael Adam b'tshuva k'shiyomri Rabbi Yispalal azeh b'leiv shalom, that he should be zeichah for tshuva. And then Mameilaf will be zeichah to some measure of tshuva, and then there's more reason the Rabbeinu Shalom will accept the tefillah. In Mishalmi, in fact, in Tainus, which indicates that if a person's tefillahs were accepted, that's the raya that he did tshuva. Because otherwise, mechateisi, what does he want from the Rabbeinu Shalom? So here the Shloah is telling us, if we're coming to be Mavakish on the night of Rosh Hashanah, Bakosher from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we should pause for a moment and elevate ourselves, so that we should make ourselves more roy for that which we're asking of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So there's a tremendous oimek in depth that, you know, what we do should come from oimek aleif, from the depths of our hearts. Rabbi said, that's avodah. Avodah is not external. Ultimately, avodah is internal. The external is a certain manifestation of avodah, but the ultimate avodah is internal. If it's a mitzvah, mamash, so you have to do the maisa mitzvah, that's true. But that's the smallest part. It's the necessary part, but it's the smallest part. Now, the difference from there and all the oimek that goes into the mitzvah, that's where the difference between the men and the boys come, between all of us and the tzaddikim. That's where the nafkamina is. How much amunah is in there? How much bakosha to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? How much dveikus b'Hashem is involved? So the Shloah is very interesting in his perspective. Now there's another thing that, one thing I should mention, b'chlau. I mean, I've always, it's been one of my pet peeves, I see whatever I discovered that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I mean, it's a posher thing. I don't need Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, but I've been telling it to people for years, but he also made a point of it. You know, Pashtus Advarim is, why did they use apples? For the Pashtus Advarim, because apples were abundant. There were plenty of apples around. There was the season. Apples become ripe at the end of the summer. And they grew all over the place. Their apples were ubiquitous. That's the posher, the reason, the chur. Now, we live in an age, Rabbi Yisai, where we have peiros, all types of peiros. We have figs, we have limonim, and pomegranates. So now we enter a new shayla. The shayla is what to make the broch on. The pashtus advarim, we should not be making the broch on the apple. Why? Because if I'm going to eat a fig, and a fig is Shubas Aminim, so Shubas Aminim takes precedence. So Pashtus, if you have a Shubas Aminim, you should make a broch on the Shubas Aminim. And then, after that, you know, that you'll eat the Shubas Aminim for your Shechiyonah, the Moshul, the second night of Yontif, and then you'll dip the apple in the honey afterwards, but the broch you'll make on the Shubas Aminim, on the second night. First night is no problem. You don't eat the Shechiyonah the first night. So you're not like that. You're not going to have the Shivas Aminim there. When do we have all the Shivas Aminim fruits?
Do you eat the apple also on the second night?
I do. Some don't. Not everyone does. Yesh v'yesh. That's the nature of Minhagim. First night is not relevant.
How does a person wind up? The Rav was, I thought I understood the Rav to say that the most important thing to do is to eat the Shivas Aminim first.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing that until the second night, the first night you're
going to
take an apple away.
That's fine. It's when I have both of them in front of me, which one am I supposed to make a bracha on the Shabbos Aminim? It doesn't say I have to eat the Shabbos Aminim on the first night. I want to eat it tomorrow. I don't want to eat it today. So this is just to our... Now also, the Matya Ephraim wrote something.
The Rav asking, you should make that something? The
Rav brought
up the Shaila. Of what? The Rav brought up the issue that you should make that something
on the Shabbos Aminim. Avadu.
The Rabbi said it's
obvious to do a lot. Yeah, it's poshut. Shlomo Zalman suggested if you're, you know, hung up on tradition, so then keep the other peiros not in the kitchen, so it won't be in front of you. But, you know, but he was partial to the view that you should make on the Shabbos Aminim. Now, also, the Matir Prime wrote something which is Bechlal. I mean, it's a mamash, it's just beyond, it was a Gavur Rabba, but I can't be, it's not the minig like him, and I can't begin to understand what he wanted. He insisted that on the second night of Yontif, that you have the Shechiyonu right away, right after you finish Kiddush. So there shouldn't be a hefsek between the Shechiyonu and the Achilas Aperis. Kol Beis Yisrael is not doing like that. And Ani Akotin, I can't begin to understand what he wanted. What Shaykh hefsek? Shechiyonu was made, really, not because I'm eating it. Shechiyonu was made I appreciate the fruit. I can make it when it's still on the tree. We just bring it to the table because most of us don't have such aesthetic appreciation. If I just see cherries on the tree and I'm not going to dig into them, so, you know, it's a klein simcha. So when I see a bowl of cherries in front of me and I'm about to eat them, then I have a simcha. But it's not a shaykh hefsek. When I can make it really, it's because the new crop. It has nothing to do that I have to be nena now. I don't have to be nena now at all. We just did it in proximity so that, because most people don't have a simcha, a joy, until they're about to dig into it. And the mice even see in the achrona of the machlokes, should you make Shechiyonu first? Or should you make a eitz first, whenever you have it? So there are two shitas. So the Chofetz Chaim paskin like the shita, that you make Shechiyonu first. Because the other way around will be a hefsek. It's the haraya alimta, that there's no such thing as it's not shaykh. Hefsek by Shechiyonu, otherwise what do you gain? You substitute one hefsek for a different one. It's not shaykh by Shechiyonu. So if you have making a shaykh, you have a fruit today, and you're going to make a Shechiyonu on it. When do you make the eitz? After the Shechiyonu or before the Shechiyonu? So the Chofetz Chaim passed us to make the Shechiyonu and then the eitz, because the Shechiyonu will be a hefsek between the eitz and eating. Whereas the other way around, not shaykh a hefsek, because the Shechiyonu is shaykh just because you see it, that's all. You don't have to eat from it.
Right, there is, but you can't eat
hefsek. Only by the Ya'etz, not by Shechiyonu. Punkt vakert. By Shechiyonu you make first. Why are you making it first? Because there's no Indian of hefsek after the Shechiyonu. If there be an Indian, what do you gain? You substituted one hefsek for a different one, so what do you gain? So I never was able, this defies my understanding, this Mat Ephraim, and as I said, the Dominican Kol Beis Yisrael is not that way. If you see someone that does it, I can tell you, why is he doing it? 99% for sure, because he saw it in the Mat Ephraim, so he started to do it. Not because his father did it, not because his Zayda did it, not because his Rebbe did it.
You could, when you say the Shechiyonu on the Kiddush, could you be
yourself
on the food
also? That's what you're doing. Yeah, no, that's what you do.
You don't make another
Shechiyonu? No. Okay, so Rabbi Yisai, so this is just a little look at the Minhogim of the night of Rosh Hashanah. Good. I'll go to you. See you.
They're not eating nuts. It's just on Rosh Hashanah.
Whatever you minik, every person has a different minik. I can't tell you what.
But when you look at in the Mishnah Berurah, or the, that's what he says. He just says it about Rosh Hashanah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. After that, it depends what your minik is.
I asked my friend and they said just that Rosh Hashanah. I asked them, what did you say? Just Rosh Hashanah.
I got a little problem.
Probably Savitsky has to get the door.